Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Bob Thibodeau with the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast, and you are listening to Life Transformation Radio with my good friend Sean Douglas. Be sure to subscribe to his podcast so you will not miss any of the upcoming episodes, and be blessed in all that you do.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. Kind of working through some internet little issues today, so hopefully this episode becomes loud and clear for everybody. So this show was heard in over 66 countries, such as the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Austria, UK, all around the world. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from wherever you are. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. I ask that you subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, or the Google Play Music app, or wherever you're comfortable listening to shows. On the show are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, other podcasters, authors, amazing people who are influencing the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on my show during our live broadcast, you could call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. So please help me welcome to the show my friend Randall Garcia. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Sean? Thanks for having me on.
Dude, I'm super pumped to have you on the show, man. We met at last year's New Media Summit in Austin, Texas, and I absolutely love your story, man. Like, you're super young dude, but you've been around the block, and you've been there and done a lot of things that most people have not. And you still have so much more in front of you, man. I'm in super awe of you, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'm just excited to be here and share my story, and hopefully it encourages others.
Yeah, 100%, man. So you'll be coming to the next New Media Summit in Tampa, Florida in February as an icon. So you were an attendee, and now you're coming back as an icon of the podcast world.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be an icon of influence this coming February. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. More than anything, I'm looking forward to learning from everyone else. I've been podcasting for a couple years now, and I want to be one of those icons that helps other people turn podcasting into a business, because you know there is strategy behind it. But enough of the business talk. I know we want to get to the transformation, right?
Right. So the title of this episode is Millennial Leadership with Randall Garcia. He is a top millennial podcaster and fellow icon of influence from the New Media Summit. He is the host of the Millennial Leadership Show, helping millennials succeed in work and life. He's also the host of the Lead at Home podcast, helping high achievers reprioritize leadership in the home. Randall is a successful entrepreneur who has launched several six-figure businesses, both online and offline, in multiple markets and niches. His story of transformation from drug user to joining the fight against drugs in his local community is one we will highlight today. If you want to know more about what he's up to, go to his website, www.randall, with two L's, randallsgarcia.com. randallsgarcia.com. Connect with him. He's doing amazing things. So the first question I have for you is, why? What is your deep why for what you do?
I want to transform lives of those around me. And so I think that's one of the reasons why the Life Transformation Radio is it just really sparked my interest, is because it has exactly to do with my vision, with my why. I want to impact others. I want to transform lives and help people go from, you know, maybe they're struggling in their life, at work, in their marriages, in their faith, spirituality, and then take them to see, you know, the potential that they have. And so what I've been others, and so really I just want to see lives transformed. Okay, I'm a big problem solver, so if you come to me with a problem, usually, you know, I can kind of help reverse engineer a vision that you have for yourself and help you take steps to get that and achieve your purpose. So, but it really is why I'm here, is to help others live transformed lives.
I love it, man. So let's talk about your transformation. You know, I don't always believe it's all sunshine and rainbows and everything's not just kind of handed to us, or, you know, you kind of got to work for it. Or what I like is that the struggle, that's what I love about entrepreneurship, is the struggle. You know, it's the wins, it's the losses, it's the ups, it's the downs. It's just a journey of growth, right? So take us through your transformation and how you began this fight against the drugs in your local community and kind of where you came from.
All right. So, you know, it's a great topic, because, you know, where I came from, if just a little bit of background, you know, on my end, my whole family is in Christian ministry. So my dad's a pastor, my grandfather, my uncle, my brother. I mean, everywhere you look, there's someone in Christian ministry, in pastoral leadership. Through the end of high school and into my first few years of college, I actually began to try to disprove God as much as I possibly could. So
oh, wow.
I went in the total opposite direction, because people who called themselves Christians, who had their own. And so I really went through this time of struggling with what I believe in, and I tried to disprove everything about God. I wouldn't listen to people. I wouldn't listen to, you know, mentors or advisors that later helped me get out of this. And I really found myself in a place where I wasn't really happy. And to make a long story short, you know, I would smoke pot every single day. Every single day, I would show up to work high. There's a 3 years of the whole time. And one of the things that it led me to do is, you know, I then started drinking. Okay. So I would combine the two, and I was really living this life that was, you know, not filled with meaning, that was not filled with purpose. I was searching, but I wasn't finding for a reason, even if there was no God, like what is my purpose? And I really struggled internally dealing with that. And, you know, fast forward, I know we're probably going to get into the middle of the story, but fast forward, I'll give you a sneak peek, fast forward a few years.
Sure.
And I got out of the funk, and now I am the youngest board president of a nonprofit over $3 million in revenue in Texas. So I'm one of the youngest nonprofits.
Wow.
But it's not just any nonprofit. It's a $3.5 million nonprofit, and it's called the San Antonio Council on Alcohol and Drug Awareness. And it really was something that it struck a chord with me, because I had been there. I had been addicted. I had been in that funk in my life where I couldn't break free from something, and I needed change, and it got me from sitting in my room alone with a blunt in one hand and alcohol and their liquor, you know, Crown Royal in the other hand, getting drunk, to where I am now today. There was a huge transformation that took place. And that story is one that I will tell over and over to anyone who will listen.
Perfect. So walk me through that, man. How did you overcome, okay, and how did you elevate to that next level to become the youngest board member?
So, you know, I think it was a process. If I can just take you through that journey, you know, there I was, yeah, with no purpose, no meaning for my life. I was getting high every day. I was throwing away days, weeks, months of my life, just not doing anything productive. And so, you know, what happened was, is actually one of my brother's best friends, my younger brother, he's 2.5 years younger than me. He actually got murdered. And so this kind of started a whole, but then it ended up being something that brought me back up. So he got murdered. He was protecting a friend from an ex-boyfriend. And of course, you know, it's one of those stories that pulled out the gun and shot him. It really affected me because I started thinking about my life.
Right.
I actually, even though I was trying to disprove God, I showed up to church one day. I talked with some people. I said, you know, I'm just trying to deal with this. You know, this is just so surreal to me. It's been bugging me, and now I'm reevaluating my life. Well, in the process of me trying to disprove God, there was one thing that stood out to me. I met a man named David, and he kind of guided me. And he asked me really transformed the way I viewed God. And he asked me a simple question. He said, hey man, like, why don't you believe? I said, well, I can't see him. There's no proof that he exists. And of course, I had all, it's like 1,000 different ways on a mission. And he says, well, if God did exist, let's pretend that he existed. Would he be a physical God? Would you be able to see him, touch him, feel him? And I said, probably not. And he says, well, what would he be? Would he be spiritual? And he says, well, what would he be? Would he be like, would he, with your emotions? And so I ended up deciding, you know what? He would. That thing that I can possibly think of. And so he says, mm-hmm, well, if you think God is a spiritual being, then you must grow yourself spiritually in order to find him. Because if you're dead, then how are you ever going to experience God? And so that's what kind of, it really inspired me. And I said, you know what? My spirit is dead. My spirit is dead. My spirit is crushed. My spirit is not living. It's not alive. It's, you know, my spirit is not living to my potential. It's not living with purpose. And so what I ended up doing is I sought spiritual counsel. And as I grew spiritually, yeah, I ended up figuring out that there is a very spiritual God in my life. And, you know, from that point forward, I decided to live with purpose and to live with intention. And every single day I would wake up and I would set goals for myself. And I ended up going back to school because I had dropped out of college, and I finished college and I started reaching out to businessmen that I knew around me. And then what do you know? I start a business that ends up being, you know, wildly successful. And then I get noticed by a nonprofit, and, you know, I first became a and alcohol. But after 5 years of serving, I got nominated to be president, and they elected me. And little did I know, I'm the youngest board member in Texas for nonprofits over $3 million. So it's been a journey.
Wow. Amazing, man. That's super amazing. So with all this going on, what made you start the podcast?
What happened was is people started seeing me as a leader. And so here's even more of the background. Here's a little bit more about me that most people don't know. But I didn't have that confidence to get on a mic and to start a podcast and to, you know, have something to say. But what happened was I actually started being in profits. You know, we were at this red ribbon reception dinner. It was a real nice, fancy fundraiser dinner. And, you know, they called me up and they introduced me, Phil Garcia, the millennial leader.
Wow.
And I was like, hey, you know, that kind of has a ring to it. And so I called my brother up. I called a friend up and I was like, hey, you know, there's something to this. And so I actually created a website and a blog, and it was very uncomfortable for me because it wasn't just that that person called me a millennial leader, but people were reaching out to me asking for my advice, my opinions. They were asking, how do I get plugged in to serve my community? How did you get to, you know, serve on a nonprofit board at such a young age? You know, I see that your business is wildly successful. What are you doing? I'm trying to start a business too. How can you help me? And so, you know, I ended up just really just sucking it up and saying, you know what, I want to help people. I want to help people in whatever they're facing. And so I started the Millennial Leadership Show, and that's been a great success. The Millennial Leadership Show came after the Millennial Leadership website, where I was blogging. It started off where I read one book a week for an entire year, and I ended up doing more than 52 books. I did 70 books on the Millennial Leadership Show website.
Wow.
And so I started generating this book. Do you think this one's worth it? And so then I started generating a following. I said, you know what? I'm going to start. So that's where the show came to be. And to this day, you know, the show is inspiring millennials all over the world. And so I've met, you know, so many different people. In fact, I had a co-host for the Millennial Leadership Show season one, and he was a writer from Forbes. His name is Wes Gay. And, you know, me and him together, we developed season one, put it out there. It was great. It was awesome. We had fun. And then in season two, I decided, you know what, I want to, you know, Wes was extremely busy. He's an entrepreneur, started another business. So I reached out to one of my other millennial leaders. He's a millennial author. He has a book called The Blueprint for a Successful Career. He's a millennial author and with a huge following, and Will became my co-host. And so what started happening is we started leveraging audiences from millennials all across the country when we do guest interviews. It was an amazing thing. And now, you know, looking back, I'm thinking, man, like, you know, I've met so many people all over the world, so many millennials, so many people who've come on my show and given my audience the, you know, top-notch advice. I'm blessed to be where I am. And to be honest, it all starts with serving people. And if, you know, people that listen to my show, they want to get better. They want to set those goals and they want to have those, you know, resolutions to change, to make positive change and to, you know, to be a better person, to be the best version of themselves. So people listen in, they tune into my show to continue that life transformation. Because Sean, as you know, life transformation, a lot of times it doesn't just happen once, but transformation happens over the entire course of your life, right?
100%. Yep.
So I mean, it's been an incredible journey. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's been an incredible journey. So I'm just blessed to be on your show, so it's been good.
So I watch a lot of Simon Sinek, and he's got a video out there about millennials and entitlement, and, you know, another guy that I watch a lot of is Ben Shapiro. just because I like how he just talks facts and figures. You know, not that he's conservative or Jewish or nothing like that. I love when people ask him stupid questions, and then he just destroys them with, like, facts and figures. I don't know, it's just funny to me. But do you ever address the millennial entitlement, like the bad press that just the word millennials get?
A lot of the stereotypes, unfortunately, are true. And you would probably expect me to say the opposite, like to defend millennials. No, millennials are the most educated generation of all time, which is actually true if you look at college rates of graduation. There's a lot of truth behind the positive things too, but unfortunately, the negative things about millennials, a lot of those things are true, and unfortunately. You know, we can't change that, you know, just with the millennial leadership. It's an entire generation. And so one of the things that I found out is that my show attracted the top level millennials, the millennials who didn't conform to those stereotypes. They didn't conform to those negative connotations. They really stood above and they stood out from the rest of the generation. So what you find in my show is you find of a lot of high achieving millennials who are not really conforming to the millennial stereotypes. And so what it's done is my audience, they've been really gravitating towards my show because of that. You know, they don't, you know, as a millennial, even if you conform to the stereotype, even if you're lazy, entitled, delusional, even those people listen to my show and they're inspired that there's other millennials doing big things. And so it's kind of one of those things that it was a healthy anger for me to even start the Millennial Leadership website and show to begin with. I had seen so many things on Facebook, on the internet, blog articles about how all these negative things about millennials. And so I kind of started it with this healthy anger of, hey, that's not me. That's not me. I mean, it might apply to most people in my generation, but that is not me. And so out of a healthy anger, I think it ended up doing some positive, if you ask me.
Right. No, 100%, man. 100%. I can't believe how much impact, like that word impact, is synonymous with the millennials. You know, you see a lot of 30 under 30. You see a lot of, you know, what do they care about the most?
Yeah.
It's being first.
Yes.
I don't know what it is. You guys have to be first. Like you have to be the Instagram influencer, the social media, like you guys are all tech.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, when I was being brought up, you know, we had Nintendo, Super Nintendo. That was kind of the thing. You know, Atari was kind of like, what the heck is this thing? It was kind of cool to play. But for the most part, you know, we were coming up into... You know, I was born in 83, so I look at the chart and I'm like, well, I'm not quite in a millennial, but then according to this chart, I am a millennial. Like, I don't know. All I know is that once they started coming out, these are the guys are millennials. Or these, and the negative connotation started, all of a sudden research is going everywhere. What are millennials like? Millennials are the most influential generation. Millennials are going to outpace baby boomers as the most amount of people in the world. Like, and you guys are the largest generation. Largest generation.
It's true. We have social media, and so it's easy for us to, because we've grown up with it, it's easy for us to get really sucked into it. Because we don't remember what life was like without it. And so it's really easy for us to get sucked into it. So you'll see a lot of, like the other day I was in Toyota, I was getting my car service and I decided to wait around because they said it only take 45 minutes. So I waited around, and then I look over to my right, and there's this millennial, like getting the perfect angle of her coffee cup that she just poured at the Toyota dealership. And then I look, and I knew she was taking a picture. And then I look, and she's trying to get the perfect angle of a coffee cup with a fancy car in the background, like normal day in the life kind of thing. And I was like, I wonder if she's even telling people that she's at the dealership getting a normal change. And she's like, yeah. And it was just hilarious to me. And, you know, but that's the thing with millennials is millennials are an interesting generation because we don't remember much of what it was like without the internet. And so what happens is we see endless possibilities. Like with the internet, you can't separate the came. And you can work from home. You can sell. Never have to leave your house.
That's true.
With the internet came endless. Millennials have grown up knowing that. That's why you see them wanting.
Okay. Interesting. So, hold on a second. You still there? Hello, Randall, still there? You still there? Hey, there he is.
You hear me?
Hey, buddy. Yeah, hey, buddy.
Hey, where did you lose me?
You were talking about millennials. Wow, man, where I wanted to jump in was where you were talking about, I can't remember exactly what you said, man, but there was an interesting study that came out that millennials want to be leaders of everything and how social media influences everything.
Okay. Jump in.
Yeah. So that's,
yeah.
What I thought was interesting is that, I mean, social media has influenced almost everything for millennials.
Yeah. I mean, we grew up with the internet. When we grew up with endless possibilities. Like, we knew that we can make money online and be owners and all sorts of things. And so that's why you see people, especially millennials, they want to become influencers, right? They want to make money without showing up to a normal corporate 9-to-5 job. Because the rules have changed. And so when you see other people leveraging something like that, that's when millennials are saying, you know what, I can do it too. And, you know, props for trying. I know there's some millennials trying. Not everyone's going to make it. Not everyone's going to get hired for that job. Just like not everyone who tries to be an influencer is going to be an influencer. And by the way, what is an influencer? Right, like how can you measure that? Like when I think of an influencer, I think of someone who's influencing others, like helping them create followers or 100,000 followers, and you're not changing lives. Then are you really an influencer? I would rather influence them than to have 100,000 followers and not influence a single person to make positive life change.
And you know what's funny about that is that everybody has, oh, look how many likes I have. Look how many follows I have. Look,
yep.
I have 15,000 people that follow me or love me or whatever. Yeah, okay. But when you hit a post, half those people don't even engage.
Exactly.
And then half those people don't even see it because the algorithm. Right?
Exactly.
So, like, if you're not posting a video, if you're not doing, like, that's cool. You have 15,000 followers on your page and you get like, what, 6 likes? One
exactly.
comment? No shares?
Exactly.
Like, I know what happened. I know exactly what happened. You bought your freaking followers.
Exactly.
There's not one time that I've ever done that. Not one time. And you know what really pisses me off is I'll get contacted. Goes, hey man, we're gonna do a share for share group. We're gonna do. I was like, I don't do that crap. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't. You post your link, I'll like it. You post my link, I'll like. You know, I'll post mine. You post yours. We'll like each other's stuff. But for what?
For
that's
what?
That's not
exactly
influence, right?
That's not influence. Nope.
That's not, like, and, I'm all about organic, but I'll do some Facebook ads for, like, pre-roll video and some other things, advertise some things, great, but I'm not sitting there going, hey, I'm going to buy my likes. Like, I don't ever do that. Not ever.
It's become a problem on many social media channels is the mass following. You'll see someone who follows, you know, 50,000 people and only has followers. So,
yeah.
Like, they're following people
yeah.
as they actually have follow back. What happens is if you try to become an influencer, people just follow. You can look. Look.
Yeah. And, well, I want to take it in a different direction, though.
Mindset altogether.
Okay,
the millennial generation
just
has a different mindset altogether. It's crazy.
I wanted to go there. I was like, let me just go there. Like, take us into the millennial mindset, right? I mean, because you're the millennial leadership expert. I mean, you're the guy. So do we misunderstand mm-hmm. the entitlement? You know, or do we misunderstand what they want to become as a leader and influencer?
What I actually find out, according to research, is that every generation thinks that they are smarter than the generation before it. So, like, which means, like, hey, Sean, you think you're smarter than your parents and you're wiser than do you have a son or a daughter? If you had a kid, right?
Yeah.
So every generation thinks they're smarter than the generation before it and wiser than the generation after it. So every generation. And so what happens is you get, think about it, millennials, they're called the entitled generation.
Yeah.
The participation trophy generation, right?
Yeah.
Check this out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then, therefore, we're entitled because we get participation trophies. And my friend Wes Gay, who is with me on season 1 of the Millennial Leadership Show, that was his pet peeve because he would say, well, who decided to get all the parents together, pull all their money, and then down to the trophy store, purchase the trophies, go back down to the soccer field and hand out all those trophies to little 8-year-olds, right? Like, is it really something that the millennials asked for? And the funny part about it is, hey, you know what? That's actually a good point. Like, when did we ever decide to get participation?
Right.
So you think about it that way, and you think, well, it's a cross-generational issue no matter how you look at it. It depends on what perspective you're going to take. So it's really an interesting conversation because a lot of people will put the blame on one generation over another. But all generations have their own thing. And honestly, there's a lot of double standards, right? Like, who is really entitled, you know? Was it the parent handing out the participation trophy, thinking that their all kids deserve one because maybe their kid was the worst one on the team? Right?
Oh, wow.
Like, think about it. Like, you're a parent, and you're like, you know what? We shouldn't just award, you know, give the award to the MVP. We should give the award to everyone because my son didn't score a goal the entire season. So trophies for everyone because I don't want my son to feel left out. So who's the entitled one?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
It just depends on how you look at it. But don't get me started.
You know what, though? I think that it was science that did that.
Yeah?
Somewhere, some scientist said, if not everybody gets a trophy, that kid has no self-esteem. And all of a sudden,
right?
The answer was, everybody needs trophies.
Self-move, for sure. So, parents
But you nailed it. Left out. They feel left out.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody whined and cried. Do you know, here's my whole theory on parenting, right? Here's my theory. We parent according to what we did not like from our parents. We take hardly any of the good, and we're like, well, my mom did this. I didn't like it, so I'm not going to do it. And then you wonder why kids act a fool at Walmart or different places, and you wonder why we ask people, like, you don't spank your kids, do you? No, we can tell.
I think there's that, and I think that there's a book. I'm still trying to find it, but I had this very, very deep, intelligent conversation with someone. I have been on a search for that book because I've been kicking myself for not writing it down. But apparently, and if you're listening to the show, please reach out to me. Go to my website and email me the name of this book if you know it. But it somehow it talks about how there's every four generations, like every fourth generation, acts like each other. So like there's only really four different kinds of generational attitudes and values and cultures and mindsets. And every fourth generation, like, for example, my great grandfather would be much more like me than my father, because he's the fourth generation, right? So it's very interesting.
So, oh my gosh. Hold on a second. Oh, there's a theory on this. I know
there's
this. There's a theory. It's four
generations. That's what I remember. And that's what I said. If you remember that, if you know it, please send me the name of the book, the link, whatever it is, because I want to read all about it.
Yeah, it's
Are you Googling it right now?
No. So I know what you're talking about. The guy's name is Strauss.
Okay.
What in the heck is it called? It's fourth something theory, and it literally talks about how the fourth generation acts like or becomes just like the fourth generation before it. So basically, like baby boomers. Right. So what was before baby boomers being as my grandparents or great grandparents? So basically you would act like your great grandparent, and then when you have children, it would be like you that, and it just kind of cycles. It kind of cycles that
exactly.
way. That's how
exactly.
I know what you're talking about. I remember that, Strauss.
That's our homework for the week.
Yeah, so I just remember Strauss. Man, I'm gonna have to. Now you're gonna make me Google it later.
I know. Now I'm gonna have to go like really search deep that book so I can read it.
Right.
Yeah, I need to go search for that book for sure.
Man, so tell everybody. So how do we get away from this? How do we? I guess a better question would be, how do you lead the millennial generation?
To be honest, this is going to sound very cliche, but honestly, there's a lot of truth to it, and it's much deeper than surface. But I mean, come on, it's all about emotional intelligence. if you cannot identify with self-reflect and look inside of you and identify who you are and how you feel and how you can at the same time, as well as understanding the person you're talking to, then none of it matters. Then it's just going to be this cross-generational issue where these generations are, you know, fighting tooth and nail, and they're not collaborating and they're not on the same page because they don't understand each other. But emotional intelligence, if you can actually take the time to think it through and try to understand someone else, the better. So here's another thing, Sean. Why this is so important. So, Sean, when you went through elementary school, who did you hang out with and who did you have things in common with and who did you talk with? You were probably talking with other elementary school students, correct? Right? You probably had conversations and interests in the same things, in the same.
Sure.
Whatever it was, because you understood each other. And what happened throughout your entire years of school, and this happens to most of you, now you're in middle school. Who are you communicating with? Middle schoolers. You're in high school. Who are you communicating with every single day, Monday through Friday? Well, high schoolers. You get into college, and then who are you communicating with? Other college students. And you get thrust into the real world. Now who are you communicating with every single day? Multiple generations. So here's where the disconnect is. Here's where the disconnect is. You've spent so much time just having other people in your same generation reinforce over and over and over again what you believe and how what's acceptable, how to act, what to say. And you've had the same exact generation every single day over and over reinforce that into you, that when you're thrust into a real world job experience and you're dealing with cross-generational issues, you are not equipped to deal with all that. Now think about it. Like I actually spoke to a school district, and I said, you know what? Like, let me give you an example. Teaching is one of the hardest jobs to have because, like, let's say you have a Gen Xer teacher who is – they have a millennial parent, right, that is the parent of one of the students, and then the student is a Gen Ed, which is what we call after the millennials, Gen Ed, or Generation Edge. Z – student, right? You have the student in Gen Edge. You have the parent who's a millennial. The teachers grew up in a Gen X format. And then what happens? Sometimes the grandparents pick up the kids and they're baby boomers, right? And so you have teachers. That's just one example of probably 1,000 of when you get put into a real world scenario, you're communicating cross-culturally in so many different ways. And it's not just generational cultures, but it's all, you know, then it expands. It's not just generations of age groups. It's also different backgrounds, different experiences, different ethnicities, right? Different, just so many different factors. And so how I can just generalize it and make it sound cliche, but actually really, really, intelligence, and you can understand all this cross-generational, cross-cultural, you know, things that happen on a daily basis with every conversation that you come into, then maybe you're better equipped to lead in your role. And so it's a very deep conversation. It's a very deep topic that can really be boiled down to emotional intelligence, if you ask me.
I love it, man. The way that I think about emotional intelligence is living with empathy. That's the way that I think about it, is living with empathy, you know, and emotional intelligence can be deployed by simply crawling into the hole with somebody.
Exactly.
Like, oh, wow. That really sucks, man. I really feel bad for you. Like, that really sucks. Like, it's patronizing. It's sympathetic, but not empathetic. And empathy goes a long way and says, you know what? I've been there. you know, I'm aware of what's going on inside you and going on around you. I'm aware. Being emotionally aware and emotionally intelligent can also pay dividends when you're talking to someone in difficult situations and having those different conversations across different generations.
Exactly.
Because you,
right
you
on.
Know their tone, you understand where they're coming from. They may not understand you, but as an emotionally intelligent person, you understand them. You understand where they came from. You understand where they're trying to, you know, bring their knowledge into this situation, whether it be warranted or not. But emotional intelligence deployed correctly shows respect for the relationship more than anything else.
Exactly.
That's what I think.
Exactly. It's like, it's when you get outside of yourself, right? Like people, you know, there's so much intelligence when you learn from someone who's different from you, no matter if it's different political stance, if it's a different generational, you know, ideology or modification. I mean, when you learn, you know, bottom line, when you get outside yourself and you're willing to learn from someone who's different, there's unending intelligence that you can harness from that.
Yeah. No, man, nailed it. Oh, I love it. Jen Gruver, I don't know if you know who Jen Gruver is. Jen Gruver is the smartest person I know on emotional intelligence. TEDx speaker, emotional intelligence speaker. She is.
Yeah.
Jen Gruver is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I read a book. The one emotional intelligence book I read is by Travis Bradbury, Emotional Intelligence 2.0. So,
yeah.
But I'm always willing to learn on emotion. So I'm going to definitely look her up.
Yep. Jen Gruver, Groover. Yeah, she's a TEDx speaker. She does Facebook live shows. Yeah, she's killer, man. Smartest person I know on emotional intelligence.
Very nice. Very nice.
Awesome,
well, Sean,
so,
what else do you want to know about the millennial generation?
Yeah, I know, right? So as we start to wrap up the show, man, we're going to do a shameless plug. You can plug friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, whatever it is that you want the listeners to know. Shameless plug. Go.
All right. Well, Sean, I have developed something that I'm going to be turning into a book this year. And it's called The Greater Day Formula. And so you can go to and download a free PDF so that you can see what the Greater Day Formula actually is. Sean, I think you should do it because here's what it is. I'm just going to give you a nutshell for you and for your audience, okay? The Greater Day Formula, like have you, I don't know if you're like anything like me, but for me, I've tried like gratitude journaling, just regular journaling.
Yep.
I've done like
yep.
bullet, the bullet journal. I've done
yep.
so many
yep.
different things. I did a prayer journal. I did
yep,
an affirmation journal.
Yep, done that.
I liked, you know, I wanted to log like everything I read, like so I can look back and say, oh, I was reading this on this different time. So I had like a reading log. I had an exercise log. And so to make a long story short, I created the Greater Day Formula that actually is like a gratitude prayer journal, exercise, reading log. And I'm going to show you exactly what it does. So you don't need a fancy notebook. You don't need anything. And if you go download the PDF, you're going to get the full printout on exactly how to do this. Sean, you take any piece of paper and you write the word greater vertically. Okay. So
okay.
It's an acronym. So G stands for gratitude.
Okay.
Make one sentence gratitude sentence. So like yesterday was January 1st. As of this recording, yesterday was January 1st, 2019. And I said, Lord, thank you for my new year. Thank you for the new year ahead. That was my gratitude journal for the day.
Huh.
And my gratitude journal. Then R, reading. Peter. I read a little devotional from my YouVersion Bible app. So I wrote in devotional day one, right? And that's what I read. And then E is for exercise. So yesterday and today, every morning I wake up, I go to the gym. So I said, yesterday was leg day. Today was chest tries. So I wrote that down so I knew what I did. And I said, you know, I did 20 minutes of the Stairmaster. Then
wow.
A, right? Then you put the letter A, and that's affirmation, okay? So then, you know, after I've done all that, I've worked out, I've logged, I've read, then before I start my day, I am, and then fill in the blank. What are you today? What are you? What do you need confidence in? I said, I am a leader that everyone wants to follow because right. So I had an affirmation. EA, and then T is where I goal set for the day. T stands for top three. So I write my top three things that I need to do today. And I write those out. And then that's in the morning I spell great. So if I want to make a great day greater, in the evening I add ER. So in the evening, E is end of day wins. E is end of day wins. And so basically what I do there is I look back on my day and say, what did I do right? How did I win the day today? And then R is reflection. So what did I learn today? So if you use the great
right.
paper, anything, write greater in a vertical format, and you basically have everything under the sun. You can go download a version of that just so you know exactly what I'm talking about at greaterdayformula.com. It's going to be great. I use it every morning and every day.
That's awesome, man. I'm going to try to do that. Absolutely, man. I'm going to try to do that because I've done the bullet journaling. I've done the regular journaling. I got the affirmations. I got everything else. That's freaking cool, man. I love it, man. I'm already on board.
It puts everything. Yeah, it puts everything into one easy to use formula. GreaterDayFormula.com. You can download it. It's going to be great.
Love it, man. Absolutely. Thank you, man. So as we close the show, we always leave the guests with a nugget or the audience with a nugget of knowledge. So give us a nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today.
How about how to make an impact? Is that good? How to take action today, how to make an impact? Because we're talking about the millennial generations, and you had mentioned the word impact earlier. Can I just give you a different word for impact real quick? Because the word impact is great, but can I just say make an impact? How about being a blessing? Because it's the same
being
thing.
Being a blessing, okay.
Because it's being the same thing. If you can bless someone, then you've made an impact on them. So some people are like, I want to make this world-changing impact. Well, then be a blessing in your community. Be a blessing to your world.
Right.
What's the difference? You know, people are searching for how do I make an impact? How do I make my mark on this world? Well, if you just start with blessing others, then you're going to leave that legacy and you're going to leave that legacy of impact. You're going to make an impact, but why don't you just start with the little thing? Why don't you start being a blessing to someone else?
I love that. Be a blessing. Absolutely, man. Dude, thank you so much for coming on the show. And, deep conversation about millennials. I didn't think we were going to go there, but it was great, man. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, man. See you in February.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And you know what? I'd love to have you come back later on in the year and just, you know, let's do a recap, man. Let's do like a, I don't know, let's see where the next generation's headed.
Let's do it. I'm totally down. Anytime, Sean.
Perfect. Love it, man. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, an amazing guest impacting and being a blessing to those around him. If anything resonated with you during the show, please reach out to Randall Garcia. Go to Randall S. chrisgarcia.com. It's in the show note. Go click on that. Check out the Millennial Leadership Show and the Lead at Home podcast. What I want you to do is go to newmediasummit.net. Newmediasummit.net. If you haven't already, get your tickets. Come hang out with me, Randall, and 38 other icons of influence in the new media space. Come hang out with us in Tampa in February. Go get booked on shows. Go be a blessing. Make an impact. That's it for Life Transformation Radio. As I say before we close, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until the next episode, live a great life.